Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Mel and Ellen Show this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, February the 12th, a couple days before Valentine's Day. I know that I'm sunny and sort of warm, and I know Ellen is sunny and warm. And our hearts and prayers go out to the folks who are in the snow, in the big freeze. We are thinking about you, sending you warm thoughts. So today we're going to be talking about Valentine's Day. We're really glad to have you with us. I think this is going to be a great show. Ellen said that in talking about what we might want to do, she said, hey, we're a couple of days before Valentine's, so let's invite our callers to to call in and share their stories about Valentine's. We'd like to hear your favorite story and maybe your least favorite story. But most of all, we'd like you to call in, take advantage of our gifts, skills, and talents, and the wonderful medium of call-in radio, toll-free call-in radio, and ask your questions about love and romance and a life partner and all those things that just Valentine's Day just brings out, shines the spotlight on. And also, it's been pretty hot in my life the last week or so, focusing on clients and friends who are single and the things that they want to look at on Valentine's Day. As one of them said, you know, hey, all the roses and cards and red hearts and flowers and jewelry are sticking it right in my face that I'm choosing to be single. And they've come up with some great ideas of celebrating being single rather than sort of feeling sad, or like one person said to me, you know, it's hard. It's a hard day because I don't have a partner. So that being said, I want to welcome you to our Valentine Day show. I did try and collect some statistical information about Valentine's Day, like how much chocolate do they sell? And the best I could come up with is they gauge that by how many places are manufacturing chocolate. And then I guess they sort of multiply their output from there. That was disappointing to me. The flower business does amazingly this time of year, as well as jewelry stores. I didn't realize that. I should have. Just not something that I was on top of there. $2.27 billion in jewelry stores in 2011. That's pretty staggering, I think. I overlooked that one. And then, of course, the cards. I'm a card freak, so I totally get that. The estimates this year, maybe over 180, 190 million cards will be exchanged, not only in school, but by all of us who like to send Valentine's Days to our friends and our loved ones. I already got a couple from my friends. Pretty cool. So, my dear, how is the day treating you? And happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day back to you. And the day is treating me very well. And I'm just going to take a second or two to say hi to any of the ladies from the Women Prosperity Network that I joined Thursday. Wonderful group of ladies. Hi, if you're listening in. And to Luncheon Week people, hi, if you're listening in. And Chamber folks, hi, if you're listening in, too. Enjoyed talking to all of you in the last week. So howdy do. And Valentine's Day, very interesting. Considering it used to be a children's holiday that they sent cards back and forth in school, to what it has evolved into, it's pretty astonishing. What was that, billions of dollars in a jewelry store?
Yeah, I came across that statistic. I want to say on Squeedoo, but I'm not too sure that that was the website that I found. But I went to two or three, thought I'd snoop around. I was particularly interested in the chocolate. But the statistic,
as well we should be.
Yeah, exactly. But the statistic and the jewelry just really, really, I think that really floored me. I mean, it makes sense, but I just didn't, my mind just didn't go there.
It's because that's not how we ever celebrate it. I mean, if you have to buy somebody a $100 pair of earring or a necklace or something to prove that you love them, on a specific day that a calendar says that you're supposed to do it. I think that's interesting to say the least.
I did come across one statistic, which I didn't write down, but it sort of stuck with me. It was something like 20, and I'm going to come close, not going to be exact, something like 23% of all women would drop their potential partners if they didn't send them flowers on Valentine's Day.
Really?
Yeah. And some polls, there's a poll for everything. And I thought that one was pretty doggone interesting, especially since I also came across a little statistic that the flower industry is about 375 million plus. So that, I buy tulips this time of year, not necessarily because it's Valentine's Day. I just like tulips this time of year. So I don't know if people like me figure into that statistic. I'm pretty sure they probably do.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah. It's like daffodils. I love daffodils. And, I buy them potted to put out in front. So, yes, it would probably figure into the situation. Anything that you did in the floral department would probably figure into that. I think that's just astonishing.
And I could see people buying engagement rings, wedding rings, Valentine's Day.
Sure. I didn't get that.
That could run that jewelry tab up there,
Or a promise, before you get engaged, there's that promise, or a necklace or something. I think I can understand that. That makes some sort of sense. I'll back off.
I love what you said about, because I did not, overlook the obvious, Mel. This is the Mel and Ellen show, and I'm the one that overlooks the obvious. Ellen helps keep me on track with that, by the way, and she does it very well. The kids' holiday thing. I mean, I ran across also a statistic that some $41 million cards would exchange hands. School children would do that. But you're right. When I was a kid, there was not this big.
It's like Halloween has been.
Oh yeah.
Halloween used to be, you got a costume on it, when the sun went down, you went out trick-or-treating, you got some candy and you went home, and adults didn't participate, except to walk up and down the street. And it's turned into a multi-million dollar process of parties and renting costumes for 2 and 3 days up to and a couple of days after. And I don't know. I'm sort of, not impressed.
I think that kind of thing I like looking at. And if I remember correctly, Halloween is second only to Thanksgiving in how much gets spent on it. Christmas, of course, we know is number one. But outside of that, we're looking at the different holidays.
And I think that Christmas has its heritage.
Right.
In gift giving. But when you take these holidays out of their perspective, what you just said was a certain percentage of women would drop their potential partner.
Yes, whoever they were dating, somebody that they were dating.
Really, there's that much of a pool out there to choose from? I don't mean to say that way, but. You know very well in our line of work that a lot of the work we do are for people who are looking for lifetime partners, or they're looking for romance, or they're looking for, or they're getting over a serious breakup. And when you listen to these people's stories, I would find it very, I can't even chew on what you're saying. That people would drop somebody. That's just astonishing to me, because that is not what life is. I mean, that's a window dressing, folks. I get that. It's lovely to be remembered with flowers, but I'd be much more concerned with the practicality of everyday life if it's not done with a smile on your face and happiness in your heart and I love you every night before you go to bed. And, I think you walk on water when you wake up in the morning. That really, I know I'm being extreme there, but the practicality of everyday life would be so much more important to me than whether someone remembered me with roses on Valentine's Day. Or any kind of flower. Pull a daisy up out of the park. I'm so astonished by what you're saying.
You know, it strikes me, what kind of pressure must guys be under?
I can tell you. You know Chris.
Yeah.
My adorable, loving son. And when he was in his early 20s and was working a job that didn't pay very much, and he had a lady friend, and she wanted the whole nine yards. She wanted the dinner out. She wanted the piece of jewelry. She wanted the chocolate. She wanted the teddy bear. She wanted the roses. She wanted the car. And Chris, you know, my darling Chris, so practical, sat down and figured it all out. And he figured it at that time, and that's a good 10, 15 years ago, would have cost him around $225, which was probably a week's pay for him or a quarter of his rent or whatever. And he came back to her, and this is what she wanted. And here is the end result of what you just said. He looked at her and said, "I don't think you're worth it."
Ooh, practicalities.
I don't have $225 to spend on you, and I don't think you're worth it because I have to feed myself. You know, I have a life to live, so I guess we're pretty well done then. Because she said, if you don't do it, I don't want to be your girlfriend. And he said, okay, fine. And he has hated Valentine's Day for as long as he can remember. He hated it in school. So I found him a great card a couple of years ago that said, this is not a Valentine card because I know you hate the day.
A couple clients that have said, you know, this is a really, really hard day for me. And one of the gals said, because it's in my face 24/7.
Yeah, it is. And it is everywhere you go. This is a society that is based on couples, and you see it all the time.
So I think I got a number that we're, we have a caller on line 3. Hello? Hello, caller?
Hello?
Oh, hello.
Hi. Yes?
Is this Louise?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Louise. What
can you
can
hear
we
me
do
well?
For you?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me well?
Yes, we can.
In the beginning, you were breaking up.
Yeah, you break up a little bit, but let's see if we can make it work. How can we help you, Louise?
I'm calling about relationships.
Uh-huh. What's your question?
My question is, do you see the relationship blossoming from the man that I'm talking with now? He lives in another state. But I will see him in a couple of months. For the first time in many, many years. He looked me up in August, and we've been talking since. And I will see him in a couple of months.
Louise, don't give us too much, okay?
Honey?
Don't give us too much more information.
That's great. We'll go from there. Ellen, you want to fly with Louise?
Okay. Hey, Louise, can you hear me all right?
Yes, I hear you okay.
Okay. So it feels to me as though there is a comfortableness in your relationship, and there is potential for it. But I think that both of you are healing from past relationships. And so you're very cautious, and you're doing this incredibly interesting dance around each other. But I think that by the time you get into, I want to go March, April, May. I think that you can move this forward and actually get to connect with each other physically. In other words, I hear that this is long distance. I think that you might be able to get together and talk to each other, and that would be a very a big advantage to the relationship. And yeah, it feels okay.
Okay, good. Because that is the time that I will see him in May.
Oh, good.
Well, perfect timing.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes, that was the time that I will see him in May. And I don't know. He's been very persistent with calling, but this past week, it's been a little distant now. It's like, before it was like every 2 to 3 days I would hear from him. And I said, what's going on? It's been since Thursday, I think, since I've heard from him. I didn't hear from him all week, and that's unusual. I usually would get a call on Saturday or Sunday. But I was just curious to know, is he backing up or what?
No. I don't get a sense that he's backing up. I get a sense that he's been really distracted. Perhaps, I think a couple of things, multiple of things. The flu comes up as one, or something similar, may not be literally the flu, but being under the weather. But I don't think that's the only thing that has distracted him. I'm with Ellen. I don't see him. I don't see the two of you not coming together and around that May timeline. That also feels quite right to me. I also like what Ellen said. You're both being really cautious. And I think you said something when you first called that he had looked you up and he had found you. And I think he's very happy that he did.
Yes, what it was is that we went to high school together. And to be honest with you, he remembers me well, that I don't recall him at all. He sent me pictures of him, and that just made it worse. It's like, I still don't know this man. But he remembers me well.
So what he tells me,
he was always an admirer, but I didn't know it.
Right.
Good.
You have a very exciting adventure ahead of you.
Oh. Well, that's good to know. I need something like that in my life. I want someone to travel with and explore and do things with, grow with.
Give it a shot. You never know. It feels all right. It feels very comfortable. So I would certainly make the meeting, and I agree with Mel. I don't think he's backed off because he's not interested. I think that there's been business. I agree with the flu that came up right away for me, some kind of illness. So just hang in there. You'll hear from him in the next couple of days.
Okay.
And happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. How you see my health? Am I okay?
You have actually remarkable health.
Yeah, that's true. I think you're recovering from some kind of upper respiratory infection that laid you low for a bit. But truthfully, you're on the upside of it. Just feels like, I think sometimes you feel yourself being a little tired, but I think you're in remarkable physical condition, and it'll be another couple of weeks before you're top of your game.
Okay, great. Yeah, I did have a little cold, and last week I laid low all last week. I was able to go back. I felt good yesterday, so I went back to the gym and did my exercise.
Go slow, because this flu is the flu that keeps on giving. It's lovely.
Okay.
All right, I'll go slow.
That's why I decided to stay in today. I thought, well, I think I'll stay in today and do some more work and at home. And, I still have a little cough, but I've been taking a lot of garlic. I eat garlic every day, and I was thinking to myself yesterday, I'm getting this cold. Garlic's supposed to be an antibiotic. I eat garlic. I've been eating garlic every day for the longest in a while. Why am I getting a cold? Garlic must not be my food.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You know, they say one man's food is another man's poison.
It is. Thank you so much for calling in today, Louise. We really, really appreciate hearing from you and wishing you really good fortune with this new relationship. Valentine's Day. You're listening to the Mel and Ellen Show on BBS Radio. Like Louise, call in and ask us your question or share with us your favorite Valentine's story or your least favorite Valentine's story. It's a toll-free number, 888-627-6008. Again, it is 888-627-6008. We're on BBS Radio. It's the Mel and Ellen Show. Ellen Doreen and Melanie Thomas, we are intuitives. That's what we do. That's how we make a living, and we're good at it, to tell you the truth. We'd love to hear from you. You laughed. We are good at it. Otherwise, you couldn't stay in business, you know? Right. Well, maybe you can. I don't know.
Well, yeah, there's a whole string of answers to that.
Yeah, I was thinking, oh, wait a minute.
That goes off subject, too. So what's your favorite Valentine's story?
My favorite Valentine's story. My favorite Valentine's story actually starts with you. A bonus, a performance bonus, staff performance bonus. A giant Hershey's kiss with I believe it was $100 bill.
Yeah.
Wonderful red ribbon wrappings and trappings. And that occurred right at Valentine's Day, probably, I would say, 27 years ago, thereabouts.
Yeah.
And so that enabled, Marty and I consider that our anniversary, so there's that part, although it's not something that we celebrate either one a whole lot. We tend to kind of go, is it that time? Yeah, okay, it is. All right, well, happy anniversary, and then we move on. That enabled us to, it was a flood 86, as you recall. We had record-setting floods here, and I got flooded out of my house, as you recall. And my house wasn't flooded, where I lived wasn't flooded, but I couldn't get in and no one could get out. So we roamed the hills as best we could. The highway patrol closed down a couple of roads. But through it all, we just had a really, really, it was such an adventure. And No flowers. The big Hershey's kiss. I mean, we had a lot of fun with that. I got to tell you, that was delicious. But no, it was more about the storm and I wrote some poetry around the green goddess. It was an amazing storm, and we stayed at a couple hotels, I think. Because we couldn't get in and out of anything. And so driving around, thinking I could get home, couldn't get home. We had stayed with a friend in Sonoma, and then we left there. And then it was all over because the rain was so bad. So I think that's one of my absolute favorites.
That's neat. I've forgotten about that. I've forgotten about the floods, to be honest with you. But I've been down here in the sunshine for such a long time.
It was an amazing flood. I don't think it's ever been called the Valentine's Day flood, but because I think the real flooding happened at that period. But it lasted for a long time. Boy, I remember going up the Bohemian Highway, and the garbage trucks were running probably one every or the refuse trucks, shall we say. We're running probably every 15 minutes for several days, hauling away all the damaged property.
Oh, But, do remember that. Yeah.
But yeah, that was, I mean, it was a, that part was very sad, but gee, it was fun. I saw my first eagle in California. He was soaking wet.
Oh gosh.
Flushed out. He was sitting on a wire, just trying to wondering what was going on.
Yeah.
No sun, no drying out. He was just soaking wet. The bald eagle, it's the first one I had ever seen in California and the only one I believe I've ever seen. I've seen some golden eagles, but that was the only bald eagle that I'd ever seen in California. So it was, again, a very, very, very fun time. What about yours?
Well, you know that I'm always around children, but, you know, that's, Valentine's Day is one of those days that I've always, it's about children, and I don't, as an adult, I don't really celebrate it. Mark and I certainly don't, you know, do anything about it. But I think the one that I liked was when I was doing the cupcakes and things for the children at the school, and, you know, they'd have their little afternoon party and have a little Valentine's exchange, and they'd make Valentine's for each other. And I did that home with Chris and Alisa, my kids. We made special little shoe boxes all wrapped in crepe paper and hearts and things so that they could put their Valentine's in it. And they helped me decorate all the cookies and cupcakes that we would take to school. And those are the fun things that I really like the best. I think that, and I'm still kind of going back to what you said about people who said they would, you know, drop their boyfriend if they didn't get flowers. And I'm still sort of stunned by that, because there's so many ways in the world that we tell each other we love each other, that to make that the watermark of your relationship is just, I can't, it's just beyond me. I can't get my hands on it. I would think, you know, certainly if you were in a budding relationship where there's going to be a romance forthcoming, that someone might give you a single rose, or someone might give you a card, or send you a card, or call you and wish you a happy Valentine's Day. But in this day and age where the economy is so difficult, and people are struggling so hard, I would think that just having the comfort of the partnership would be plenty.
You know what you did? I saw on the news this morning, they have, it's from South America. It's a specialized rose. It's 6 feet high. It's a 6 foot high. Now that is a long stemmed rose, red. The ones they showed, a bouquet of them. I don't know. I think it was $300. What? And then the question is, if you were a person, I mean, what would you do with 6 foot high long stem roses? I cut them down. You know, that's kind of funny picture, actually. But
it is. It's not funny.
But they showed a gal holding a dozen of them, and they went right up to the top of, you know, one of those beautiful Valentine slinky models, and they went with her arm around these dozen roses that were as tall as she was. I thought it was just phenomenal. Somebody hybridized them to get them to be 6 feet high.
Hope there's no thorns when you're hugging them.
I think a single one is $80. If you really are watching your budget, you could get a single one for $80.
You know what? I'm sorry, I wouldn't even want one. What the heck are you going to do with it?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't want one either. I mean, I don't know what I'd do with it. What a funny scenario to have a dozen of them delivered to your office. And then number one, what do you do with them when they're there? And how do you get home with them?
I know.
I mean, well, I think it'd be pretty impressive to your office mates, but that would be a great Seinfeld. How do you get them home on the subway?
Not only that, but, you know, what you just said is really the crux of a lot of it, is people are so focused on what their office people will think of them with this show of romance from their husband, their boyfriend, their partner. You know, because I've heard that so many times in the advertising. Oh, you're going to be the talk of the office when your husband or your boyfriend sends you all this stuff. And is that why you're doing this? I thought this was about love and romance and feeling nurtured and cared for, and it should have nothing to do with what the person in the office next to you or the cubicle next to you thinks about what's going on in your life. And what if you sent them to yourself?
Man, you took that right out of my head. I was thinking that.
I mean, it's just, it's so, and the money. And I don't mean to keep going back to that, but when you hear people talk about the economy and the struggles that they're going through, and some people are having trouble just putting food on the table and paying their mortgage, so you're going to go out and spend $35-$40 on roses to send so that the people in the office think that you're loved? I don't.
Nobody would send me roses because most people who know me well know that I'm allergic to them. So
I don't mean to sound cynical, and I'm certainly not against Valentine's Day, and I don't mean to sound like I am, but I have. That was such an astonishing thing to hear. I mean, I could see that people's feelings might be hurt if they didn't get a card or a phone call or a hug or a kiss, but to say that you would break up with somebody, I just can't deal with that.
So you said something there because you took that out of my head because I was thinking about it too. What, you know, sending yourself the whole office thing. Okay, I'll order roses and have them delivered to myself, you know, secret admirer sort of thing. Which, you know, no judgment. If, you know, if that's what makes you feel good and it works for you, go for it. Is it okay to buy yourself? I mean, not necessarily in that way, but I mean, is it okay to buy yourself roses or flowers for Valentine's Day?
I don't see why not.
Me too.
I don't have a problem with the concept of it at all. If this holiday is absolutely, okay, let's go here, 100% important to you, and you have told your partner, this is more important to me than our anniversary or Christmas or any of these holidays. This holiday means everything to me, and it would mean everything to me if you would respect that and do something that would be a lovely surprise. If that is an openly communicated, not you have to read my mind, thing, and the person then ignores your request, then you're on a whole different wavelength, because then the person is hearing what you want and ignoring it. And then there's obviously something else going on that's not good. But if you declare that Valentine's Day is important to you and it fills your heart with joy to get red jelly beans or a cookie that's covered, you know, in icing or whatever, and you're going to make yourself happy by doing that, or buying yourself a little plant to put on your desk at work, or to buy yourself a rose quartz, which is all about love, and putting that on your computer. Whatever that is, if that's what's pleasing to you, and there's no strings attached to it, why not? I'd go out and buy myself a box of candy if I wanted it. I don't want it.
I think it comes in the lines of, you know, treating yourself well.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, some of the people who, for instance, you know, that would be a great anecdote for, hey, it's all up in my face. So go out and buy yourself some flowers, you know, feel good about it.
Right. And as long as that's okay with you and you're doing for the joy of it.
Right.
Not because somebody said you have to enjoy this holiday. And I think this is a real interesting tie-in. I don't know how many seniors I've talked to who have lost their lifetime partner, husband, wife, and they come up against these holidays, or they come up and you know, well, my mom, Saturdays and Sundays were horrible for her because there was nothing to do and no one to be with, because people who had families spent Saturdays and Sundays with their families, and then the holidays would come. And these are grown people, and they know that they are loved whether they get cards or they don't. But because they didn't get cards, they felt lonely and sad and put on a show. And I think that's the thing that has me kind of upset about this stuff, is that because somebody said we're supposed to be happy on these days, or we're supposed to share family on this day, or we're supposed to be with people on this day, and if we're not loved, we're not, we have no value, we have no sense of belonging, that we have isolated a whole group of people, and it has nothing to do with any kind of truth.
Right. It's a good point. It's a very good point.
So, and as you said, you have some clients, as I, who are saying, oh, this is so hard on me because I have nobody. And I'm sitting here thinking, then all of you band together. All of you sitting out there all by yourself with nothing to do, band together and go out and have a good time.
That's actually the anecdote that a couple people are doing. They're having Valentine's parties for singles, and not with the intention of creating connections. They're just having Valentine's parties for people who are single, and have a different way of celebrating the day, I guess would be a good way to put it. Again, it's not for the purpose of making connections. It's for the purpose of sharing the passage as a single person, when the media does have it everywhere, all up in your face, you know? So go have some fun with it. Pop a bottle of champagne, eat some chocolates with some friends, you know?
Right. And you know, on the heels of that, I have to say something to you. I did a ladies' night out, which I do down here a lot. We go and they invite a group of ladies to a business, and the people go and learn about the business, and they invite jewelry people and our kind of work, and you know, so that people can kind of have a fun night of it. And it was on a Saturday night, and it was at the Merritt Island Mall. And for all the people I know. And it was, I have to say, it was at Clazy, which is a pottery place that's just open. And you go in and paint pottery or learn how to paint a picture, and you can do it all in one night. And you pay for the piece you paint, and then you pay for the paint and the firing if you get pottery. For all the women that I talk to who say, I'm alone, I have nothing to do and nowhere to go, it would have been nice if a lot more people had shown up on Saturday night. And I'm thinking, and just as you said, to have a party to enjoy Valentine's Day. Go where you like to go. Have a party. Enjoy yourself. If a whole bunch of ladies had come to that, there was enough. I mean, I'm not saying that nobody showed up. But for as many people who say they are lonely, they're sad, they can't go out, they have no partner, for all the ladies' nights out there, go out there and do that. And at least go out and have some fun. You might end up meeting a lady who has a brother. I'm being silly, but you know what I'm saying. If you sit at home and bemoan your situation and don't take advantage of the gifts that are being shown you or given to you, then you always do what you've always done. You'll always get what you always got.
Boy, that's real. So Valentine's Day, folks, isn't just for couples.
No.
It's for everybody. And I like what you said earlier to go back to. It's obviously not for couples because, like you said, it started out being for kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And now that's turned into real interesting. I mean, I don't even know if the schools do it anymore. Because, I mean, it used to be the last session of the day was all cupcakes and cookies and sharing Valentine's. There was one little child was made the postmaster, and the big box of Valentine's would be put in the front, and everybody dropped their Valentine's in, and then the child would run around and hand out all the, you know, and that's why you had your little shoebox all decorated so that all your Valentine's could go in that, and you'd have a way of carrying them home. And it was, you know, lollipops and cookies and it was fun. And they played, you know, the musical chair game and, you know, pin the tail on the donkey. It was just a lot of fun.
No, I don't remember that when I was in school. I remember my Valentine's because that was my favorite thing. I don't remember the food. We just got Valentine's. And I had loved my bag of Valentine's. It's kind of like Halloween candy, coming home and opening up my bag of Valentine cards. I thought that was just a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. And the ones I gave. I had a lot of fun doing that, too.
Yes.
I don't remember. I think in my day, we didn't have, you know, cupcakes and all that stuff. We just had Valentine's.
No, I was talking about Chris and Elise.
Yeah, when your kids were, yeah, exactly.
We never got that either. We got just our Valentine's, and you're right. We took them home and we opened them up, and they were wonderful fun. And part of the lesson in the, because there was always something that you learned from it, was you had to write your own Valentine. So you had to have your class picture, so that you could sit down and write to Jenny, you know, from Ella.
Oh, that's true.
And so it was a writing exercise, and then you put it in the envelope, and then you looked up Jenny's name, and you wrote on the front of it, Jenny Smith, because there might be three Jennies in the class, and sealed up the envelope. And then you had to make sure that you have one card for every person in your class. I mean, it was not only an exercise in having fun and sharing, but it was an exercise of writing and counting and being responsible and all of those things. And it was fun.
Those clever teachers, I never even thought about that. You're listening to the Mel and Ellen Show on this February 12th, 2013, 2 days before Valentine's Day. We're talking about Valentine's today and inviting you to call in with your questions about romance, about your partner, about what's happening, about what's not happening, about what's about to happen. You can call in toll free at 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to answer those questions for you. So have you ever been, this popped into my head too, given what we do. Have you ever been or done a Valentine's Day reading party?
No.
Me neither.
You know, I have done, I did a bridal shower once. And, it was very interesting, and it's not something I think I want to do again. I think that there's a point where it's not a good idea, and I'm not saying that about our work, but there are, you've heard me say so many times, people look at what we do and they think you're going to say all this la 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 stuff, and it doesn't always work that way. And sometimes the message is not particularly fun. And I don't mean that as a downer. I just, it's a truth. And so if you're going to go to a Valentine party and someone says to me, is this the man of my dreams? Is this my soulmate? And you're looking at the person and going, you know, no, maybe not so much. How do you deliver that message at a Valentine party?
I never thought about it that way. Maybe there's people out there that are brighter than we are, and they know that, so they don't even go there.
Well, I don't think it's like down here we have Mardi Gras, you know, in the village, and I would never go to Mardi Gras and try to do readings, even though it is really quite an accepted aspect of Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Is obviously, you know, they have readers, and people are getting set up for their year to come. And all that stuff. And so a lot of, you know, they go and have their reading done for the year or whatever. But here it's not appropriate because Mardi Gras is not looked on down here that way. It's looked on as one big party. And people don't want to do that during the party.
That's a good point.
You know, and so Valentine's Day is all about hugging and kissing and obviously, beyond the smell, exchanging jewelry, all sorts of things that we never get. So why would you want to invite a psychic? I don't mean that way, but, you know, it's just, it doesn't fit there.
Pretty funny.
Yes, it
was pretty funny. Valentine's Day, what you said about hugging and kissing, there's two origins. One is a Roman fertility festival that occurred around Valentine's Day. And the other one, of course, is the martyrdom of Saint Valentine, who apparently, although I don't know if this is the reason why he was martyred, who apparently was performing weddings, marrying people, when Emperor Claudius, one of the Claudiuses, maybe the second, said that he had a decree that said he wasn't supposed to do that. Now, I don't know if it was him specifically, but anyway, he was in violation of the Roman Emperor's decree. And I thought it was pretty interesting that it's both Roman things. So there's this Roman fertility festival that happens around, ritual that happens around this. What they think that might be the origin of St. Valentine's. We have the little, you know, Eros. I always think it's interesting that the god Eros, although Pax and Eros, always depicted as a little naked kid, you know?
Yeah.
With curly hair, running around shooting his arrows into people, Cupid is that. I mean, it's a cute depiction, but it really is kind of comical when you think about it. So it looks like, you know, in both cases, we're tracing the origins of Valentine's Day back to the Romans.
Oh, that's really interesting.
They're interesting, those Romans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and then you have, you know, all the pagan holidays, and it's wonderful, and I think that's so interesting too, that it's so eclectic that we move all these holidays. Of course, there's, as you're correct, Saint Valentine, who was actually an actual saint. So, but it's just such an eclectic holiday. It's like, I go back to it. It's like Halloween, which was All Saints Day.
And now
we're celebrating it for a month before it happens. It's just very interesting stuff.
Well, it says that we're partying people.
That's it too. And I think that there is really, if you think about the way our calendar has expanded, and it's an interesting commentary on our humanity. There is at least one holiday a month, every month of the year now. And in some cases, there's holidays and sports events and all sorts of things. But if you think about it, there's not a month in the year. And then you throw everybody's birthdays and anniversaries and graduations and all of these things, and you find that you are partying every 2 weeks. There's something going on where there's a gathering of people, there's tailgating, there's birthdays, there's picnics, there's 4th of July, there's Memorial Day, there's Veterans Day, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Flag Day. And it's real interesting that it becomes such, if you are partying all the time, what happens when you're down to real life? You know, it's like, but it is interesting. I think we've evolved a long way from Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Well, we know part of it is that it is business. I there was some statistics about how many people are employed.
Yes.
Just putting Valentine's Day together, the flower growers, the jewelry people, the manufacturers, the card companies. I mean, there's a lot of people yes, there's a lot of money to be made on the sales end, but it also employs a lot of people.
Oh, wow.
I think that's probably true for like Halloween. There's a store that opens up every year in the same place in Santa Rosa, where it's a Halloween store, and it's open for like 6 weeks, and it employs a bunch of people, that not only the people who set it all up and stock it, but then the people who work it, and then the people that take it all down.
Right. And I think there is something to be said for that. I really do. I think there's something. I also like the idea that we have come so far as a society that we have this time, energy, partly economy, inclination to celebrate. Because if things were really, and that being true too, when things are very hard, it's nice to have a celebration to look forward to.
Right.
And if we have come so far that life is good enough that we can celebrate so often, I think that bespeaks volumes of how far we've come.
That's a really good point, the prosperity of celebration. That would be a good article.
Yeah, even and as I said, there's a lot of people right now that are hurting financially, and no, they can't go out and buy the diamond heart and this and that. But boy, they could sit down and plan a lovely dinner and make paper hearts out of construction paper and paint them and all the things that we do, and to bring the family together and to celebrate. And if you're a young couple, there's a lot of things you can do to celebrate Valentine's Day. I think what I was really kind of so stunned by was that someone would say that they would drop somebody if they didn't get their flowers. And my way of thinking automatically went to, well, gee, there's so much to be shared in a relationship. Such as, you know, you're a young couple, you can't afford to go out and buy the big dinner and have all this stuff, but you certainly could get a lovely bottle of wine and sit on your front doorstep and, you know, share some salami and cheese and a loaf of bread and have some wine and celebrate each other that way. There's so many ways of doing things to celebrate this holiday. I think when we first started, that's what caught me so far off guard. There's so many ways of celebrating this within each other's expectations that was just seemed like a harsh thing.
I saw along those same lines, well, not exactly along those same lines, but I suppose in a similar way, actually. I don't think they're too far removed. I caught glimpse of a commercial. I'm sure it was a television commercial within the last 24 hours or so. And I don't usually pay too much attention to them, but it was two men who were discussing the fact that they were buying chocolate. And they were talking about the fact that, yes, women have to have chocolate for Valentine's Day. That's a law.
Oh, dear.
Now, they didn't say law, but they stressed repeatedly that women have to have chocolate for Valentine's Day. And to tell you the truth, I think that that's an expectation on everybody's part. I mean, I don't want chocolate. I don't need chocolate on Valentine's Day, but I wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to be surprised if it shows up.
Yeah. That's nice. I mean, you know, that's nice. And I think that, again, there's so many ways of covering that. It doesn't have to be a 5-pound box of candy from the top candy maker. It could be, as you said, chocolate kisses, you know, in a little cup full that says, this is what I'm thinking of you. So, you know, I agree with that. But that's very funny. It's a law.
I also saw somebody who had, you know, those little hearts that have, the little candy hearts that have the sayings on them?
Yes.
I guess some very innovative candy company has put out a whole bunch of them. And this is the only one I remember. It's not me. No, it's not you. It's me. So they're the, you know, the counter to the whole thing. It was pretty funny when I was reading those. So there is humor out there, which I think that's pretty clever, you know?
Yeah. No, and there has to be. And I have to tell you this. When Mark and I were on the road together, we used to start, I guess, in October, November, carrying the chocolate across country to be done for Valentine's Day. And no one in the whole world, unless they've driven a truck, knows what it smells like to open the back trailer, 53-foot trailer, and have 40,000 pounds of chocolate in it.
Wow!
In fact, the smell of chocolate is so powerful, it permeates into the tractor itself. And when we were carrying chocolate, it was like, oh my God, it was absolute 40,000 pounds of Ghirardelli chocolate or Hershey's chocolate coming out of Pennsylvania is something to behold.
That's amazing to me.
It is.
And that's part of, again, that the economic stimulus that goes on around a holiday like that.
Oh, absolutely. Easter, Valentine's, the sugar we used to carry, just 40,000 pounds of sugar going to the bakeries, going to the different marketing places to be, turned into cookies and cakes and candies and stuff. It's an amazing process.
You have the inside scoop.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone, this is Melanie Thomas and Ellen Doreen. We are the Mel and Ellen Show, coming to you every other Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock on the Pacific Coast, 3 o'clock on the East Coast. Is that right?
Four.
4 o'clock on the East Coast, 4 o'clock on the East Coast. We would love to hear from you. We will be back on the air again on February 26th. This is the Mel and Ellen Show. We've had a wonderful time today sharing our reminiscences and our ideas and our thoughts and our statistics around Valentine's Day. And thank you, Louise, for calling in. It was very, very good to hear from you. We really appreciate your listening in, and we wish all of you a really awesome Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Thank you for listening. Bye now.